Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the once again polar animal compound. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, that magical network that reaches around the world. Hello to our listeners. And we've got lots of them, and it's always great, and we appreciate your support. As winter has once again returned to the state of Indiana, here for the compound, I think we look at 2 to 3 inches of snow, and once again, it's hard to drive. We need to find a warmer climate. As always, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, our technical engineer tonight, as always, is Wayne Larson. A little bit later on, our teacher of the year, Amy Swihart. And from the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, newly renovated, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. It's 30 degrees in Indianapolis, and we have a light snow falling.
No.
And more on the way.
I had the animal truck going sideways as I was trying to get up our hill a little bit earlier. And I was kind of hoping snow was gone for a while, but it's only January, so we still have 2 more months to look forward to it.
Yes, we do.
And it's been brutal. But
we've had enough already.
Yes, but, you know, we feel so lucky. We lost our electricity last week, and it was a very balmy 25 degrees below zero, but luckily our big gators and our tortoises and everything that had to stay in the outside building survived. We're so happy. And hopefully we don't see those temperatures again for a long, long time.
Yeah.
As always, underwriting this part of our program, Chautauqua Lake, we want you cottages in beautiful Mays, New York, and also the Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo. They've got the beautiful video on demand available now for $4.99. Go to their website, Chautauqua, that's spelled C-H-A-U-T-A-U-Q-U-A, LakeBigfoot.com. The video on demand, over 6 hours of material. And if you're interested in programs like Finding Bigfoot, Mysterious Monsters, and the other things that we see on Discovery Channel and National Geographic Channel from time to time, it's quite an investment for $4.99. Speaking on the video, Billy Willard from Virginia, Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson, myself, and of course the infamous Bob Gimlin, and from the state of New York, investigator, researcher for Sasquatch forever, Steve Calls, and you want to make sure you check that out. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for January the 16th. I think tonight we'll kind of head off to warmer waters. Start the news tonight in Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Oh.
How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. Well, scientists continue tracking Catherine, a 2,300-pound great white shark just lurking off the space coast there. Yes, 2,300-pound great white shark.
That's a lot of fish.
Yes. Now, Catherine was tagged in August off Cape Cod by researchers at OSearch there.
Oh.
So here before too long, you'll be able to view, along with the researchers, on a webcam. We'll see exactly what this great white shark does during its daily routine.
I will do that. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you, Doctor.
Well, you shouldn't be sorry. All right. Well, we're heading off to the District of Columbia because we've got some stolen ivory. elephant tusk given to the city during Ethiopian Emperor Haile Selassie's 1954 visit was stolen from the John A. Wilson building in August. Now, as we know, you're really not allowed to buy and sell tusk ivory anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And these tusks are valued at about $10,000, but actually they're priceless because just for that reason.
Right.
Yeah, good luck selling those things.
Well, you can't. I know where they'll end up. The archives for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, at the National Conservation Training Center, they've got a building just filled with all these animal-related items, animals that have been stuffed that are endangered species, and it's pretty sad.
Is it a museum or just a storage facility?
Oh, it's a storage facility. They do exhibit some of the pieces at the National Conservation Training Center, but most of it's just what they've... Oh, I mean, you will see these unbelievable carvings from elephant tusk that have been taken off of air shipments. And usually, to tell you the truth, they come from overseas. That's the people that buy that sort of thing, it seems. People with too much money. And once the government gets wind of it, they grab it. And they have quite a collection. I've been lucky enough to have the opportunity to see a lot of these items. And it's, you know, they're unbelievable, but in the same vein, they're disgusting. So...
Didn't you do some training programs there?
Yeah, I've been there, been going there for over 12 or 13 years doing programs. So we've got a strong relationship with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And I feel honored for them to show me these items because they're under lock and key.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like being in the basement of a major museum.
You know what's pretty cool before you go any farther with the Wild World News? I'm about to burst. Tonight, our special guest on our show from one of my favorite bands forever, Utopia, Willie Wilcox.
Cool.
Hey, guys. Good evening.
That was a little blurb. Good evening, Willie. Willie?
How you doing there? Sounded like Jimi Hendrix kind of jumped into the show and did a little feedback.
We had a little feedback. And you're welcome to participate in the Wild World News. I didn't forget you. I was just waiting for that prime moment. Okay,
all right.
Day.
All right. Well, if you're a Bald Eagle fan, live video of Bald Eagles at Berry College now can be seen on their website. At the Georgia Department of Natural Resources Wildlife Researches Division. So this is in Rome, Georgia, and if you go to that website, you can view bald eagles whenever you'd like.
Yeah, and you can also do the National Conservation Training Center, and they have an eagle cam set up as well.
That's pretty cool.
Or if you come to my house or my compound, I'll take you down the road, and you'll see bald eagles on the nest as we speak.
This early in the season.
Yeah, though they're starting to it's starting to happen. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our national symbol, so we should all be proud.
Yeah, we should be.
All right, now this is a job that I don't think I would like. Spokane, Washington, state fish and wildlife biologist put GPS tracking collars on 28 moose last month. Yes, for a long-term study.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Now, the department's Rich Harris said the moose appear to be expanding their range, so they're studying the moose now to figure out why they're heading out of their territories.
Because they can.
Well, I think I have an idea. They might be searching for a flying squirrel.
Oh, really? Oh, Jesus.
It could happen. All right, before you buy anything exotic, check with your local wildlife officials.
Okay.
Now listen to this story. Salt Lake City, Utah. A brother and sister have been indicted on charges of illegally importing a rare boa constrictor from Brazil.
Hmm.
The U.S. Attorney's Office said Jeremy and Carrie Stone paid thousands of dollars to administrators at a Brazilian zoo to get the white leucistic boa.
You know, our friend Willie Wilcox just got back from the wilds of Mexico. Did you see any boa constrictors or snakes when you were down there, Willie?
I didn't. I was on the border.
Oh.
So I wasn't in the wild, so I didn't see any, but there was lots of tacos.
Where were you at, Willie?
Mexicali.
Mexicali. I spent a lot of time in Mexico. Well, I love it down there.
Really? Where'd you stay?
Well, I was in service. I was in the service in El Paso, stationed in El Paso. I spent a lot of time in Juarez.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I don't think Juarez.
Border city.
I don't think Juarez is actually a tourist town, is it, Willie?
Not exactly. these days they're having quite a lot of trouble over there on that border.
Yeah,
I think Americans have disappeared in that town and never heard from again.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not a currently it's not a safe area.
Yeah,
that's what I was.
Bill
thinking.
Spent a lot of time there. Of course, you know me. They ask me for my green card every time I come across the border. So.
Yeah, I mean, where I lived in Huatulco in the state of Oaxaca on the coast was incredibly beautiful. There's many beautiful places there, but this past weekend I was in Mexicali, which is the home of my fiance.
Wow.
Cool. I have a couple of good friends from Oaxaca.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. And they tell me about the mountains there, the volcanoes, the male and the female.
Volcano.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's
yeah. Well, the male is active and the female is inert.
Well, that figures. I should have known that. Right.
that's so typical.
So typical.
Yeah, everything. Well, everything, yeah.
I have my hand over my mouth. I'm not speaking. Not until I hear kiss.
We're not hearing that, are we?
No, I'm not liking what I hear.
Not as of yet. All right, good luck with this next project, Cimarron, New Mexico. State wildlife officials plan to capture and relocate almost 200 pronghorn antelope.
Wow.
Yeah, now the Fish and Game Department officials say that the animals will be herded, corralled, and transported from a private ranch there that has been experiencing damage to their irrigated cropland.
From the pronghorn.
Yeah, now let's think about it. We're going to grow vegetables out here and with 200 pronghorn antelope.
yeah, that should be a successful program.
Yeah.
Man.
You just got to think about it. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
All right, now the circle of life continues. We got some strange news this week. We had a large sperm whale wash up on a Scottish beach this week.
Oh.
We had a beached whale in Uruguay, 46-foot-long beached whale.
Yeah.
And now here's an odd story. We've got dead cows. The carcasses of cows are washing up on the beaches in Denmark and Sweden. Cows, yes. They don't know why. They don't know where they've come from.
What in the world?
Yes. Yeah, now we also got a mosquito-borne virus that seems to be spreading rapidly around the Caribbean.
Yeah. Well, that's where we want to go on vacation.
Exactly. Well, this time of the year, I'll take my chances with the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
All right, Little Rock, Arkansas, the bad news continues. Zoo officials say they don't know whether they'll replace some of the large animals that died at the zoo in 2013. Now, the animals include a lion, a rhino, an elephant, and a giraffe.
Well, that's just bad luck all the way around.
Yeah, and now don't think about replacing the animals until you figure out what the real problem is there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's just...
My God.
Again, think, right?
Right.
All right, here's another one. Raleigh, North Carolina. 10 endangered red wolves have been found shot to death the last year.
Oh.
Why? Well, the State Wildlife Resources Commission allowed coyote hunting in the area this year, but apparently the hunters weren't smart enough to be able to tell the two animals apart. And so they shot the red wolves thinking they were coyotes.
I think more appropriate is the hunters did not care.
Well, we have to educate these people.
Well,
I know that you do your part. You can't spread yourself that thin, but please.
Yeah, because a coyote and a red wolf, they don't, besides having two ears, four legs, and fur.
Yes.
Their resemblance is no more.
Aren't they different colors?
Yeah, they are. They're red.
Okay, I'm going to go back to closing my mouth.
Yeah, and see, something as simple as this, and they, you know, these people have rifles.
That's the scary part. You know, there's certain people that should just not be allowed in the forest with a gun. I mean, it's like, what was the poor farmer that had to paint cow on the side of his cows because deer hunters would shoot them?
That's exactly right, yep.
And there's a story that I've, years and years ago, we had a Barbary sheep, which looks like a very big bighorn, literally walk right up a fence and over a 10-foot fence and was loose. And one of the hunters apparently had seen it, shot it, and they took it to the deer check-in station. I mean, it doesn't look anything like it.
That's the weirdest deer I've ever seen.
It's got horns like a bighorn sheep. I mean, my gosh. So that's what we're dealing with.
I know. Yeah. Makes me mad, but...
Get over it.
Yeah. All right, well... The new panda cub is on exhibit now at the National Zoo in Washington. Yes, Bao Bao, which is, you know, a great name for a panda, is only on exhibit a short time since it is a cub. So before you go to check out the new baby, check with the zoo to see what time they will be on display.
I wonder if they'll be sending that one back to China, too.
Well, then in 30 years.
We mentioned this one week on the show. You know what it costs to lease a panda for a year from China?
Oh, boy, I don't quite remember, but...
$1
million. $1
million. Because all those pandas from China are still owned by China. They're just put on display as rentals.
Right. We get them for like 20 years, and then they have to go back to something like that.
Mm-hmm, and China owns the rights to all the babies that are born. Yeah.
Well, that seems fair. If they plan on sharing them with us.
Well, yeah.
And since we're not paying for it.
We do, though.
Well,
we pay them $1 million per panda a year.
We'll have to find out how many pandas we have in the country now.
You see... China has all. They've got Walmart under control.
Yeah,
and all the panda bears.
And I think they're taking over Jack Daniels too.
You're kidding.
No.
That's sacrilegious.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on with this Wild World news for the night, so we can get our guest on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'd like to see more of this, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Charlotte Douglas International Airport has brought in 1 million red worms, red wiggler worms, to eat leftover food. Yeah. The resulting compost will be used as fertilizers on the grounds there at the airport.
Well.
It's as simple as that.
Just be careful where you land that plane.
All right, let's get on with the Wild World facts of the night. We're running a little bit long. Now, a rhinoceros horn is composed of compacted hair.
Yes.
Yes, we all knew that.
Yes.
Now, the next time you have the opportunity to see a dragonfly, spend a little time with it, because a dragonfly's lifespan is only about 24 hours.
That I did not know.
Yes, it's kind of sad for such a beautiful creature.
Yes, it is.
So next time you see one, spend a little time with it. Now, Mr. Batson will tell you that this story is true. A crocodile cannot stick out its tongue.
That's right.
Unless it's, like, really mad at you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Let's finish the, end this up with a cockroach can survive for a week without its head before dying of starvation.
What a shame.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's
well, that's the Wild World News for January the 16th.
Well, once again, a fine job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We always appreciate the efforts that they put forth for us every Thursday night. Want to remind everyone to please check out our page, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do. Our wildlife programs, we take to schools all across the country and educate these youngsters with our animal ambassadors, such as wolves and baboons and African serval cats and pythons and all sorts of things that travel with my wife and I as we visit these many, many schools and see thousands of children. Which brings to this our teacher of the year. It's her time, Miss Swihart. Start class.
Crazy. Hey.
We have a new classmate this week, Willie Wilcox from Las Vegas.
I know it. And Willie Wilcox plays some amazing drums. He's going to come to my house and he's going to play for me, aren't you, Willie?
Absolutely.
See, he committed right there on Blog Talk Radio. Come into Warsaw, fly into the Warsaw Municipal Airport. It's tiny, but your jet will be okay, and I will pick you up.
Awesome.
Okay. And I'll take you out
sounds,
to dinner.
That sounds like fun.
I'll take
can
you
we
to
do
Bennigan's.
In the summer?
Oh, sure. I'll take you to Bennigan's, and I'll sing Redneck Woman to you. And then...
Okay, I'll play the drums, and you sing it.
Perfect.
Oh, my.
Yes. No, actually, you just play the drums. How about that?
Okay.
I don't sing well. I can only sing to first graders. That's my specialty. But anyway...
Okay.
Hey, you want to know about something that happened at school this week that was kind of funny, silly?
Yes, we do.
It has nothing to do with animals, but it sort of has something to do with animals if you want to think about it in a weird, odd way.
Okay.
But, well, you know, I teach first grade. Our hallway is first and second graders. And this is kind of this isn't naughty, but it's kind of gross. But,
good.
I know, you just got to love it. We had an incident in the restroom. It happens regularly, let me tell you. But this one was kind of funny. It wasn't funny if you were a custodian, but I'm not a custodian, so it was funny. But someone had like a large supply built up inside them, and it's really hard to clog these toilets here, and they're automatic flushers. You know, I mean, because Lord, we don't let our kids flush the toilet themselves anymore. We do that for them because, you know, everything's on a platter around here.
Yeah.
And nobody has to flush. You don't have to do anything anymore. So anyway, the automatic flush, we don't know, but this had to be ginormous because it's the water raised over the top of the toilet. And the crap escaped. On across the restroom floor. Yes. So.
Willie says, what the hell am I on?
So, you know, it really is kind of an animal thing.
And now on with the Willie Wilcox interview.
That's right, see? But, So, you know, you try and bring children back after that. You know? Boys and girls, let's go ahead and do some math now. And all they're thinking about is the Titanic just went down the hallway.
Well, we want to hear about the possum story.
Oh, geez. So my
Willie's
son
been waiting for that for a week.
Yeah, I bet. You know, we have this little barn, and it houses our chickens. And I don't even know how many we have, maybe 35, 40 chickens. And they go out this little door in the morning to this pen. It's kind of large. But it's fenced with flight netting over the top, And the fence is buried into the ground 18 inches so that something that would like to dig and get our chickens can't really get them. So, I mean, the chickens are pretty secure, but for some odd reason, we've been getting a possum in there. So, I mean, there's obviously a leak somewhere. So I went home yesterday, actually, to pick my son up to take him to the doctor. He's 16. And I'm waiting in the driveway. And I'm like, where is he? Is he watching TV? Because we got to leave. Sure enough, I get a message on my phone that says, I've got a possum. He's wrangling a possum out in the barn. He missed his doctor's appointment because he's wrangling a possum. He did get the possum out, but it took like 45 minutes. And we missed the doctor's appointment, so I had to take him to the urgent care place. And we were just talking about it. We were chatting at the urgent care place about it, and the receptionist says, excuse me, are you here because of a possum injury? No. We're here for this rash that won't go away on his stomach. And she said, oh, because, you know, we've not had that before. I'm like, yeah, I know. No possum injuries. But we didn't, you know, my son didn't want to hurt it, so we didn't. But we got it to run out, and so we saw where it's getting in, so now we were able to fix that little spot. But, yeah, I mean, how many people does that happen to? It's like I go home and my kid's got a possum in the corner.
Well, I have a little story from many, 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 many years ago when we were starting our school season with our animals, and we were one animal short, but we just so happened to have recently rescued a possum, a baby possum. So I'm thinking to myself, let's use that as a part of our lectures. So here I am in front of 500 kids, and my thinking is, of course, the possum has a somewhat prehensile tail, but I'll just hold it by the tail. It'll hang upside down as I tell the children all about America's only marsupial.
Yes, thank you for the text, by the way. After I badmouth the possum, you make me feel guilty.
You're welcome. So the possum proceeded to climb up its own tail and proceeded to start chewing me up each and every arm. So there I am, juggling this possum back and forth, trying to act like nothing was going on. And we did complete that session of the program, but I have to tell you, after the show was over, we were leaving the school, the first cornfield we came to, I released the possum and told him, you're not meant for show business.
You know what? Their tail's gross if there's no hair on it.
That's the way they're supposed to be.
I don't care. It's not hairy. I want it hairy.
Well,
I can't help it.
Well, what can we say?
I don't like it. It just grosses me out.
Yeah. Well, they're really very clean creatures. They eat the stuff that other animals won't.
Well, great.
They're America's little garbage man.
We needed them in the boys' bathroom this week then.
Oh. Well, they may not go that far.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
So that's my adventure for the week here. You know what? The kids came back to school after being out what seemed like for an eternity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they missed me. And I said to them, and I missed them too, by the way, but I said to them, one of the first things I said to them was, how many of you lost teeth over Christmas break? Oh, heck, half the class raised their hand. I got, like, all these toothless faces.
Yeah.
You know, and better them than me, that's for sure. But they look so different, but it's really cute. I mean, you know, they're adorable, and they're doing really well because, I don't know, for some reason, they've just been very productive. So,
can you relate to these stories, Willie, when your children were in first grade?
Yeah. Parts of them. I never had the bathroom experience. I didn't get.
Oh, lucky.
No, Willie, you just didn't know about that. See, you got to be like on the inside.
Know
that stuff, Willie.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably hit. Willie, did you have to go to the outhouse, though? Because, see, like when I was in school, we didn't have the bathrooms we have now. Maybe you just didn't know. Never
it's
know.
It's possible, but I don't know. I grew up in the farm country in New Jersey, but we had bathrooms.
Yeah, we did too. They just weren't like they are now. I know. I was just picking on you, Willie. Because you're just so awesome. Because I saw your drum solo.
He's quite good.
I know.
When
did I tell you that he's going to come play for me?
I heard that earlier.
Yep.
So we're all we have to do is grab Chasm Sultan for the bass, and we're halfway there.
Yep.
It could be
we're halfway there.
You know what?
We have
a local musician from my hometown, Tim Ellis, who's listening right now. He's a new listener. And, he's a local musician. So you know what? Willie, when you come over here and you play the drums, Tim's going to play the guitar, and we'll rock out. How about that? I can play the cowbell. I can do the cowbell. I can do that.
You should join Blue Oyster Cult.
Whoa.
Yep.
That's right. Larry, you play things. What do you play?
Oh, it's forever. I play a little bit of everything.
Do you play the maracas?
I have to tell you, when it comes to rhythm, I'm not talented at all. I have nothing there. That's why I'm so envious of some spectacular drummers like Willie Wilcox. So it's like,
look, with a few drinks, anybody can play maracas.
You know, that's probably true. Yeah, we'll get a bottle of Jägermeister, and I probably could handle those.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to come back with Willie Wilcox. Lots of exciting stuff to talk about. Michael Jackson, ZZ Top.
Yes.
Oh, we can't wait to hear what's going on there. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio with Willie Wilcox this week.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
It's Bobcat Heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
I'm guessing we don't want to
dance on the floor.
One part of the great band Utopia, along with Roger Powell, Chasm Sultan, Todd Rundgren, our guest Willie Wilcox. And I assume you're in Las Vegas, Willie?
I am in Las Vegas. Here today, and I'll be in California tomorrow.
So I was talking to you earlier, Willie. I was in Vegas a few weeks ago, and I actually went to the Cirque show, the Michael Jackson Cirque show, which was really good. I don't know. I just always love that music, but I want to know, what do you have going on with that?
All right, well, as it relates to Michael, so I'm currently the senior audio director at a company called Bally Technologies, and Bally makes slot machines for the rest of the world, and, you know, including the United States, and they had licensed some projects. Michael Jackson was the first of those big iconic music projects that we did, so that actually started a year ago, first game being called King of Pop. Then we made a second game called Wanna Be Starting Something. And so I just finished up the second version of that game, and which is currently in both those games, King of Pop and Wanna Be Starting Something, are in casinos throughout the world now. And then we just finished also the production for ZZ Top. So that will be launching in the casino in February.
Wow.
To have the chance, Willie, it had to be just amazing because you actually had the original Sony recordings and you worked with these recordings. Explain to the folks exactly what you did.
Well, the task was to mix all the original tracks in true surround sound because with the video games that we have that are currently out in the state of slot machines now is more like Xbox games than it was in the future when you think back of the old arm pull and spitting out coins and, you know, just the real spinning. It's gotten quite sophisticated and the entertainment value is quite high now. So they're combining these great 3D visual experiences with a great audio experience. And I helped Bally design a surround sound chair that you sit at, which actually has, you know, left and right rear speakers behind your head and a bass speaker or subwoofer in the chair and also an LFE or a shaker. So when you feel the beat, the bass drum, the snare drum, the bass, all those vibrations from those instruments actually play into the seat. So when you're listening to the music, you not only hear Michael Jackson like you'd never heard him before in surround sound, meaning that the lead vocal is coming at you from the center in front of you and that the background vocals are behind your head and that you've got guitar solos that I can move around in the surround sound field and give a lot of motion to the music. So it takes that original mixes that you're, you know, that everyone's used to and takes them to yet another level. Entertainment experience, and also it's done within the chair, and you feel the beat in your seat, so it's quite an encompassing experience. You feel like you're on a one-to-one with Michael Jackson.
Wow.
That had to be just amazing to listen to those recordings. And
yeah,
it's
incredible to hear. It's history, really. You know, you hear, you hear all those parts, and of course, Quincy Jones and the producers that they had making those records at those times were state-of-the-art guys. And so every one of those instruments just fits together like a puzzle. So, you know, you can listen to a lot of recordings, you know, with a lot of different bands, and the expertise and the artistry that's involved in having the instruments sit in the right place so that they all fit together and play together well is quite an art. And those producers that made those records, you know, we're at the highest level of that kind of accomplishment, along with the fact that Michael Jackson was just incredibly detailed and passionate about what he did. So his understanding what he heard when those guys were playing, he heard everything. It wasn't that he just got up there and danced and sang. He was a writer. He was a producer. He was like the consummate artist.
Yeah.
You probably developed a whole new appreciation for his music those weeks you listened to those tapes.
Yeah, I mean, some of it will make you cry. You hear some of those vocals on their own, and you hear the passion. And his being was embedded in those recordings. It wasn't somebody that sang something to sing it. It was his soul.
Man. Was there one recording that stood out?
Dirty Diana had a very kind of haunting you know, when he sang that song, he was almost crying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, of course, one of my favorites from his catalog was always Man in the Mirror. And I always just thought that was just an amazing recording. Just the whole song.
It was an amazing recording. We couldn't use that song because of the lyrical content of that song and what it was really saying. So that's another thing, is that when we do projects with iconic artists, the destination is an entertainment destination. So we want the players to be entertained. We want the message to be positive. And so when we're selecting the artist's songs for these projects, the songs themselves are extremely important in how the experience translates to the clients and to the players.
So what songs did you
select?
But I agree,
that's amazing song.
What songs did you select?
Songs, yeah. Well, we had Beat It. We used Beat It, Billie Jean, Smooth Criminal, Dirty Diana. Did I say Billie Jean? That was one of them. Don't Stop Until You Get Enough.
That's a perfect casino
and,
song. What about ZZ Top?
We used.
Yeah, what'd you do for ZZ Top?
That's another completely different kind of experience. And now we're talking about historic blues culture. And in this case, of course, we're also talking about artists that, thank God, are alive. So in this process, I flew down to Texas to ZZ's studio and got a chance to record their voices for the game. So if you play that game, there's things that are happening in the game that actually are the guys in the band, voice bites that we made during the gameplay as a part of the entertainment experience. So you actually hear them, you know, talking to you and kind of supporting the gameplay. So got a chance to be in the studio with the guys and hang out, and that was lots of fun. They were lots of fun to work with, really consummate professionals. So that was the beginning of that process. And then, of course, in any of these games, the challenge really is to maintain the integrity of the music and take it yet to another place beyond where it used to be. So, of course, the music, any of these musics are sacred. Every fan knows every lick and every bar of music that these fans made. So you have to be very, very careful in how you edit this music together. And, of course, none of this music was ever made to be put into this destination. So that's really one of the challenges of working on one of these projects, is taking, you know, one of these iconic groups, and in this case ZZ, and making their music fit into the gameplay in a way that still sustains and maintains the integrity of the original music, giving people like a sonic experience that they haven't heard, hearing, you know, their favorite band's music in a way that they've never heard it before, and, you know, making the songs, you know, maintaining that integrity that they originally had. Quite an experience. And, of course, they only have three instruments in their band, so you have a very different kind of production perspective with this, because you only really have a bass player, a drummer, and a guitar player.
The way that they play,
and the way that they have to play, just being a trio, in the ways, the sounds that they use for their particular instruments to fill those voids, was very interesting for me able to hear that in the tracks, because I gained a new appreciation for just that simple fact, which gets overlooked as you hear this band. There's only three guys, but there's this gigantic sound that's happening, and you're not missing anything. But how does that happen? Because typically, you've got a guy playing lead guitar solo, there's a rhythm guitar player or a keyboard player supporting him. But in this case, when Billy plays a solo, it's just bass and drums. But the sound that Dusty gets on his bass is so huge and is huge in a certain kind of a way that it actually also takes the place of having a rhythm guitar in the band. So it was very, very interesting, you know, the sounds that these guys get in order to make that happen. And then, of course, the fact that the sounds that they do get individually are so iconic that you can just hear it and say, oh, that's Billy Gibbons.
Okay, so what's your favorite ZZ?
Quite a compliment.
Yeah. What's your favorite ZZ Top song?
Oh, let's see. I like Sharp Dressed Man.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
well.
I like them all. We did Leg, Sharp Dressed Man. What else that was on there? I can't remember now. We did most of their hits.
LaGrange.
Yes.
LaGrange, yep. LaGrange is awesome.
They essentially did live recordings in the studio then. That's what you're saying?
What we used for this particular game was actually a live recording from them. I forget where the recording took place, but we used an actual live recording of one of their performances, which included all those hits.
Wow.
In the case of Michael, we used actually all the studio recordings.
Hmm. So do you have someone in the works now that you've done Michael and ZZ Top? Who's next? Do you want to do Kiss? Because I really
would. Kiss has already been done, and and actually was done. It was done by one of our competitors. But I will say is that I think the fact that I come from actually the record world and from that world of making records and being an artist and musician gives us a very strong competitive edge,
right?
Because I don't mix these projects as somebody that is apart from that world. So that gives me, you know, a kind of a unique perspective on how to make these things happen for real in the real world. Because, as a matter of fact, when ZZ came, you know, we got together with ZZ and played it in the studio, and they were blown away by the sound, which is an evidence of the fact that you know, we're doing something that's at the level that they're used to doing, which is being in the music business. So we have a unique perspective, I think, at our company, from me having that past.
So I want to know a little bit more about your past, because I know listeners would want to know. You're going to have to go back to that past life just a little bit, please. But I was looking you up, snooping around, and you've played for other bands, drummer for other bands. Can you tell me a little bit?
Yep. Okay, well, let's see. I guess my career really starts in my college days. I was attending Manhattan School of Music, and a buddy of mine came up to me and he said, hey, there's these guys, they're singer-songwriters, and they're auditioning drummers, and they have a really cool, like, kind of R&B pop vibe. Their name is Daryl Hall and John Oates, and they're auditioning drummers, and so you should go down and try out. So that's what I did. I went down and played, and back in those days, you know, it was done at Studio Instrument Rentals, which was a studio rehearsal space. And what the bands would do is there was about 25 drummers sitting there, all on chairs, and one drum set and Hall & Oates playing, and you went up and you played your two songs with the band.
Yeah.
And then the next guy would play. So I sat through probably a good 20 people till I got my chance to play, and that it was the Wild West, you know, shootout. You know, you got the gig because you got the gig. And so I remember then that was on my 21st birthday. I actually that day, it would be September 21st. I can't remember the year, but I got the call from Oates, and he said, hey, well, he said, you know, congratulations, you got the gig. And I said, hey, it's my birthday today. He said, well, happy birthday. So that was the start of kind of my professional drumming career. And of course, when I joined the band, we went on tour. We toured with the Bee Gees and Dr. John, and there were some great tours, Lou Reed. So we had some awesome, you know, tours that we went on.
Yeah.
And then Daryl and John made their record, which was called War Babies. And coincidentally, the producer of War Babies was Todd Rundgren. So
there you go.
Actually, the first first connect between Todd and myself was him being the producer on the War Babies album. We were in the studio, we made that record, and what happened then is that I became very good friends with the bass player, John Siegler, who happened to be the bass player on the Hall & Oates record, and who also happened to be the bass player of Utopia.
Wow.
So we found that we connected very, very well as musicians and had a kind of a really good vibe and feel together. And after that, I, you know, continued to tour with Daryl and John, and I got a call from John Siegler asking if I'd be interested in joining Utopia. And so I, while he had asked me that, I had finished up the Hall & Oates tour, and I had gotten another gig through audition process, the same kind of process, with Bette Midler.
Oh,
and
wow.
The connection for that, yeah, it was a show we did on Broadway called Clams on the Half Show. And that all came about because the keyboard player of Hall & Oates, whom we had hired, became the musical director for Bette Midler.
Huh.
So I still had to audition, but that was my point and my connection to the project. So I went in, and I remember auditioning. I remember Bette going through different drummers and stuff, and I remember her singing, and she came and sat next to me, and I remember saying to her, I said, you know what? I said, you're really an awesome singer. And she said, wow, thank you. And I just remember the fact that she's not the kind of a singer that Celine Dion is in terms of those kinds of vocal gymnastics or that kind of quality, but she has the ability, like Michael Jackson, to emote when she's singing. So the words that she sings come off the page, and the experience is just incredible. She's such an emotional, you know, singer and artist. So that was a great experience, and I got to play in Bette's band. Lionel Hampton happened to be the on that show as well, so I got to play with his big band. We had like a 17-piece big band, so I got to play with Lionel and Bette, and that was a great experience. I left that situation, joined Utopia, and of course I spent quite a time, you know, on the road, length of time on the road, making records, you know, with Todd and Utopia and kind of developing that band. In between all that, we did a Meatloaf record, so I got to play on about 3 or 4 songs from the Bat Out of Hell record. We did a Sean Cassidy record during that time period, so we played with Sean. We did a Steve Hillage record during that time, so we played for Steve Hillage for his album. Then I went to England, and I had a friend of mine, Jody Linscott, who is a great percussionist. She played with The Who. She was on a project, and she invited me to the studio to watch them play. It was a group called Transvision Vamp, and the artist was Wendy James. And I was listening to the session, and she was having trouble playing congas on the session, and she says, I just can't get it. And I said, well, it's not your problem. It's not your fault. She says, why? And I said, because it's not the conga part that's not right. It's the drum part. And she said, well, tell the producer. And I said, no, I don't want to get in the way. And he said, what? And I said, well, the problem is that the drums are not correct. And then he said, really? And he says, well, there's a set of drums set up here. You want to show me? And I said, sure. So he went and turned on the machine, and I went out and I played, and he goes, I want you to finish the record. So I made the whole record.
Wow.
And I guess I understood what wasn't happening, you know, with what they were doing. So I played on that record, and that was a lot of fun because it was a very, very different kind of music. So those are some of the kinds of things that I had done as a drummer. We did the Ringo I did here in Vegas, actually. It was years ago. We did a big telethon, so we had Ringo Starr playing, and Bill Wyman from the Stones was playing. So I got to play with Ringo, double drums, having him sing, do Money and everything. So that was awesome.
Oh,
of course, nowadays, today, and huh?
Do you need an assistant?
I do need an assistant.
Because I am available.
All right. I do need an assistant. I have too many things to do.
Well, you see, Willie, Mrs. Swihart is so young, she's not familiar with the Utopia catalog, which is absolutely amazing. So she has to delve into that and really develop an appreciation for Willie Wilcox and the bass playing of not only John Siegler, but our friend Chasm Sultan. And, of course, some of the great tunes by, I think it's pretty well a fact, he's just a musical genius, Todd Rundgren.
Yep.
And
he's a very talented guy.
He is. As well. And I can still remember seeing you, Willie. I think it was at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. And did you not have a drum set that you could sit in would actually do a complete rotation?
Yeah, that was the motorcycle drum set, which was on the video that you guys were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It was many years ago in the days of like swing music, they called drums traps, the trap set. So I named that motorcycle set the Trapparatus because it was an apparatus, and they were trap drums. But in the modern world, we outfit that motorcycle frame with pedals and cymbals, and it mounted on a motor with a shaft on it, and the thing would spin around when I did the drum solos. Of course, the roadies got immeasurable pleasure from seeing how fast they could spin the motor while I would do my drum solos, to the point that the centrifugal force was so strong that at times I'd have to grab the hi-hat stand to keep myself from flying off. And I'm playing with one hand, and people are probably going, wow, look at that guy. He's playing with solo with one hand. And it wasn't because it was an artistic decision. It was life or death.
And you probably would have needed I would have needed a puke bucket nearby.
Getting back to the bathroom stuff, yes.
Yeah, I mean, puking, playing the drums with one hand, holding on with the other. Yeah.
My Lord.
Yeah, it was a spin out.
Well, of course, when you toured so extensively, I guess the roadies needed little what they call practical jokes on the road to amuse themselves.
Yeah, to keep up the morale. What better way to get the morale up than watch to see if Willie could fly off the drum set during a solo in front of thousands of people.
You gotta have a little fun.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing catalog, I have to tell you. Willie, gosh, it's so great to have you back on the show. You're always just such a wonderful guest. We think you're a friend. But I need to tell you, and I didn't mention it earlier, you need to get out to Estes Park, Colorado.
I know you've been telling me to do that. I haven't done it, and I want to do it, and maybe we'll do it this summer.
On your way to Warsaw, Indiana.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, on my way to Warsaw.
Yeah.
And McGregor Mountain Lodge, who happens to be one of our underwriters, and I got so wrapped up in what we were talking about, I neglected to mention, go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. Right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park, Willie, you'll have bighorn sheep, mule deer, elk in your backyard at your cabin or lodge, wherever you decide to stay, and some of the most beautiful scenery country in North America. So
hey,
you
Willie.
Need to do that.
Oh. Sorry, you know me. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to know, Willie, are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Will you be my friend?
Yep.
Sure.
How do I find you on Facebook? Because, you know, the rest of the world probably wants to find you, too.
You might try.
Let's see.
You might try Willie Wilcox under the search.
Yeah, I know. I see it because I have a mutual friend. I think that's you, Larry.
That would be me.
But I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be his most favorite friend.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think you should be able to find it there. I'm not sure. I think it's just under Willie Wilcox, but you should be able to find
it. It is. I see this drummer. I just clicked add a friend.
Yeah, that's me on the motorcycle set.
Yes,
oh, my.
That's you. Right,
Willie.
That's your friend request. So now you can snoop my Facebook page, and I will snoop yours, okay?
All right.
Well, it was great to have you on the show. We appreciate your time and efforts, and hope to do it again in the near future. I hope you had a good
Absolutely,
time.
Larry. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun.
Oh, it is. And we have to find your daughter a position at a zoo. We have
yeah,
to do
she would
that.
Love that. That would be awesome. She's such an animal lover. It's just incredible. That's her passion.
Yeah.
We need to hook her up with Doug Hodel.
Yes, I know. The Albuquerque Zoo. I want to get a hold of Doug. New Mexico is a great place to live as well. So, and that would even be closer to Nevada and Las Vegas. So
It would. It would be awesome. I like New Mexico.
It's a beautiful state. Just absolutely beautiful. Thanks to Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson, for making sure this show stays on the road. Dr. Day, what a dandy, huh?
Dr. Day.
It always amazes me when we get to spend the evening with the music royalty.
I know.
It does. And his own history, which a lot of those items I was not even aware of, now I'm more blown away than I was before.
And I feel just like a small little person here in Warsaw, Indiana. I'm missing out.
Well, thanks
now
a lot.
You know Vegas now.
Yeah.
I know. I want to go back.
We won't discuss what her and her young son were collecting in Las Vegas, but maybe
just
at
some
another
cards,
time.
Knock it off. Just some cards.
And then you can't talk about what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I mean, you know, I won the competition. That's all that matters.
Well, you're right.
I got the most.
Have a great week, everybody. Stay warm. Thanks again, Willie.
Hey, nice
talking
to you, Willie.
And you've been listening to Wild World.
Nice talking to you guys. Have a great night.
Thank
you,
Willie. And you've been listening to...
Good night.
Good night. Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.